You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week, we continue our journey through John's Gospel with Brother Keith's message, Taking Jesus Into Your Boat, from John chapter 6, verses 14 through 21. Let's listen in.
Amen. Cornerstone. We're building lives, and every life has to be built upon a cornerstone. So my question to you is, who is your cornerstone? Could be, what is your cornerstone? Unless it's Christ, your building will ultimately fall. We're going to be talking about that today. We're seeing back-to-back miracles. Last week, we talked about the miracle of feeding the multitude, Jesus' most public and most famous miracle. That was feeding thousands of people by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus took a tiny bit of food, fish and loaves of barley bread, and he multiplied it to feed thousands of people. Power validating the claims that Jesus was God's Son in the flesh. And we talked about how that life of power for us begins by acknowledging the divine power of Jesus. And then his power continues to flow through us to the degree that we admit our own powerlessness and we surrender everything in our lives to his lordship. And then as we live in obedience to him. So his power in us is in a direct relationship to how we see him and how we let him come into our own lives. Jesus never did use his power for just useless displays or just because he could. Now, we would do that. I remember as a teenager, a young 20-something, I would go dove hunting on Saturday afternoons. I mean, we grew up in Cairo. That's what you do. And if there might be a Sunday after or Saturday afternoon where the doves weren't flying, you didn't get a chance to shoot. And so you'd come off the field and just unload your gun on a can. Boom, boom, boom. Just unload it. Or a tree. Boom, boom, boom. Because you wanted to unleash that power or step to the edge of the woods where it would just reverberate all through those creeks. Boom, boom, boom. Just because we could. But Jesus didn't do that. His miracles always had a point. They were signs that teach something about who he was and why he came in the flesh. Well, the miracle of the multitude led Philip and Andrew and the other disciples to deeper faith by showing them their own helplessness and that they had a need that they were unable to meet. It was impossible for them to meet this need. And so Jesus was teaching them to trust him in all situations. So if feeding the multitude was the lesson, then the miracle in today's passage was the examination. So if he's teaching them to trust, then he's giving them an opportunity to trust. Because when trouble crosses our lives, you know, then that's when we determine, are we going to trust him? Well, of course, this is the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. The fifth sign in John's Gospel, and as Chad has already read, John 6, 14 through 21, if you'll turn there. The miracles of feeding the multitude and walking on the water, they go together. The first one sets up the second one, so they go hand in hand. And if the feeding of the multitude taught the disciples to trust the power of Jesus in all situations, then the storm of on the Sea of Galilee was, as I said, an opportunity to put that trust into practice. Have you ever prayed for patience? Well, if you have, God has given you opportunities to practice patience. And so when you pray for patience, I expect to be able to practice it. So if we're learning to trust Jesus, then he will give us situations whereby we can practice trusting him. So why is this important to us? Well, because you might be in a storm right now. And of course, I'm using storm as a metaphor for sickness or trouble or trial. You might be in a storm right now. Or you might have a storm coming that you know nothing about. So how will you face these storms? Well, this is the last miracle that John records while Jesus was in Galilee. His focus will be shifting to Judea and Jerusalem for the remainder of his gospel. And remember, at this point in Jesus' ministry, he is very popular in Galilee because of all the miracles that he had been doing. He was very popular there. Thousands of people saw the miracle of the feeding of the multitude, but only the disciples saw Jesus walk on the water. It's almost like every miracle that he did while he was walking around in Galilee and the rest of Israel, he was leading the disciples. He was doing all of this so that the disciples could see and learn about who he was, because after all, he would leave them his ministry. So all along the way, Jesus was teaching them about life. And then he gave them opportunities to apply those lessons. And that still happens today. Hopefully, you are learning about Jesus Christ as you come to church, as you read your Bible, as you come to Sunday school or small group studies. You are learning about Jesus, but then applying what you learn to everyday life. See, it's not enough just to hear the word. We have to be doers of the word. In other words, we have to live it out. And just as the storm in this passage was an exam for the disciples, so may the storms in your life be exams for you. So, four things to remember as you prepare for your exam. Four things to remember. First, that Jesus sometimes sends you into a storm. He sends you into a storm. Now, the disciples were walking with Jesus. They were obeying Jesus. They were doing everything they were supposed to be doing, and yet they found themselves in a storm. So don't ever think that because you're a good Christian that trouble won't come to your life, because that's not true. It's not true at all. Jesus lived a perfect life, yet he was persecuted. He was harassed. He was ridiculed. He was abused. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was crucified. So why would we expect a trouble-free life when Jesus, the perfect one, didn't have a trouble-free life? If you're in a personal storm right now, it might be or it might not be related to anything in the way that you're living. But it has everything to do with God working for your good in your life. Now, you should ask, well, Lord, what am I doing? Am I doing anything? What sin have I not confessed? But that, as I said, does not mean that trouble won't come to you. But at least you should ask. But he will work through everything to bring good. We get a more complete picture of this miracle by reading Matthew and Mark's gospel account. And they tell us that Jesus made the disciples get in the boat. It was Jesus that made them get into that boat, and he sent them to the other side. So Jesus sent them away knowing what they would be going into. He sent them into a storm. We don't like to think about that. That Jesus would send us into storms. Why? Well, to grow our faith, yes. But also because Jesus knew that the crowd, back in verses 14 and 15, wanted to come and make Jesus king by force. And he knew that if the disciples were still around, they might get caught up in that worldly plan. So he sent them away to keep them from getting caught up in that. He might have sent you in the storm that you're in to keep you out of a worse storm. Have you ever thought about that? That may be why you're in the storm that you're in. The fact is that storms come to us, sometimes because of poor choices that we make, but sometimes because God sent it for His purposes in our lives. We can't always know, but we can always trust. We can always trust Him. And what's sad to me is to see Christians who become bitter and angry because of trouble in their life, instead of taking that opportunity to grow in their faith. So as you prepare for your exam, remember that sometimes Jesus sends us into storms. Well, secondly, remember that Jesus watches us in the storm. He sees us. He watches us. Verse 15 says that Jesus withdrew again to a mountain by Himself. So here He is. He sends the disciples away knowing they're going into a storm. And then He goes up on a mountain and watches it all happen. He's watching it. And Mark adds that Jesus saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Now remember, as I explained last week, the Sea of Galilee was a lake. It's down kind of in a bowl. And the lake at that area is about 6 miles across. And so according to verse 19, they had only gone about halfway across the lake. And so Jesus was on the mountain above watching them struggle in this storm for hours. Just watching them. Remember that Jesus knows everything that happens in your life. Nothing happens to you that is not first filtered through His will, His good and perfect will. And remember that He watches because He cares. When our boys were babies, we bought a new gadget called a baby monitor. You could put it in their room and you could hear them when they're crying. Nowadays, they have audio visual. You can see them crying. Even before monitors, though, when you heard your babies crying, did you always run in and pick them up? No, not always. Because you knew that you were helping them to grow and mature by watching them struggle, by listening to them struggle. If you run in every time they cry or whimper, then you're going to spoil that child. But you know that you are helping them grow by watching and listening to them struggle. I think that's what Jesus did for the disciples. He's watching them from that mountain, as I'm sure He's praying for them too, but He was growing their faith. And He does the same for us. He's revealed His power like He did in the feeding of the multitude for the disciples here. We know the power of Christ by reading His word. Now will you trust My power in your life? And see, that's where those two things meet. Where your need is and what the Bible says about Jesus. Those two things meet. So will you trust? Take comfort in the fact that He is nearer than you think as you struggle through your storm. Whatever that storm is, He is nearer than you think. So He sometimes sends us. He always watches us. Thirdly, Jesus comes to us in the storm. Now, Jesus might not come when you want Him to. We've all been faced with trouble and we pray, Lord, take this thing away from me, just as Paul did. So He may not come when we want Him to, but He will come when the trouble has served His purpose. When the trouble has served His plan for you, He will come. And we know that His purpose is always glorifying His name, but it's also growing our faith. The disciples got into this boat around sunset. Scripture says it was dark. And according to Mark and Matthew, Jesus didn't come to them until the fourth watch of the night, and that's about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. So they had been there straining in that storm for 8 to 10 hours, just straining to get across. They couldn't do. And you might say, well, I thought Jesus loved me. How could He just sit back and watch me suffer? Well, I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know that He loves you even when He delays, even when He doesn't come precisely when you call Him. I know He still loves you, and He will somehow use that trouble for your good. We learned in our devotion Wednesday night that we should not live according to what we feel. Instead, we should live according to what is real, what is unchanging. Our emotions are constantly changing. They're up and down. So don't live by your emotions. Live according to what is unchanging, what is real, and that is His Word. It never changes. The living Word of God never changes. So we live according to His Word, and that's why the more you know of His Word, the more you can apply His Word to your life, to your situation, to your storm. So in your storm, know that He will come according to His timing. Not only does He come, but He comes to help. It's His power working in our weakness. And the fourth thing is that Jesus will ultimately deliver us from all storms. The gospel tells us that Jesus and His disciples were in two different storms. You remember one, that He was sleeping in the boat, and the disciples woke Him up and said, "Lord, we're going to die." And at that time, He got up and He rebuked the winds and the waves, and the storm stopped. On this occasion, He apparently didn't stop the storm, but He delivered them through it. See, He works in different ways according to His will, not our will. And we don't like to hear that either. We think He is working on our timetable and according to our will, but it's all about His will. God allows storms in order to move us from one place to another. Maybe physically, but definitely spiritually. He is moving us from unbelief to belief. And He's moving us from belief to unshakable belief. See, the ultimate storm in all of our lives is death. And the only way that anyone can be delivered from that storm is through Jesus Christ. That's why we don't apologize by saying that Jesus is the only way to life. That's why the choir sang that, that He is the only way. And people find offense to that, but I am thankful that He gave us the way. He gave us Jesus. He gave us the way out of our greatest storm, death. And Jesus came to help us through this life, to be sure, and He does that by His Holy Spirit working in us. But He came first and foremost to deliver us from the eternal spiritual death that is before every one of us. But it doesn't have to be. Your relationship with Jesus will determine how you face all the storms of your life. See, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Even the life that you live, the way you live it, even the death that you die, it's all about Jesus. So it's one thing to know about Jesus, but it's another to know Jesus. The disciples, they were about 2 years in following Jesus at this point, and they still didn't fully realize who Jesus was. But every day they saw with their own eyes the power of Jesus at work. They saw it. And that power drew them into deeper and deeper faith. Mark's gospel said that they didn't really understand the miracle of the loaves until they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Matthew tells us that they finally got it at this miracle, and they worshiped Him. And they said, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Because they got it. They saw Him as He was. Look at verse 19. They saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. John doesn't say anything about the disciples being terrified during the storm, but when they saw Jesus coming, they were terrified. Now, why were the disciples terrified when they saw Jesus? It's because they saw Jesus as He is. God walks on water, And Jesus was walking on water. The word there literally means that he was strolling on water. Some people try to explain this away and said he was floating on a log or standing on a piece of ice from the storm. But no, Jesus was strolling on water because that's what God does. And most of the commentaries agree that the translation there in verse 20 of "it is I" is literally "I am." So Jesus is walking up to them and they're terrified, and Jesus says, "I am." That's how God identified himself in the Old Testament. "I am." And that's what Jesus said. They saw Jesus as he is, God in the flesh, and they invited him in. Verse 21 says, "Then they were willing to take him into the boat." That's the key of the whole passage. They were willing to take Jesus into their boat. Tim Keller says about this that Jesus never minimizes storms, but he always maximizes himself. He does that in your life too, in my life. He won't minimize the storm, but he will maximize himself so that in that storm, you have all you need when you have Jesus Christ in your boat. Notice the difference between the disciples at this point and the crowd in verses 14 and 15. The crowd wanted to make Jesus king to serve their purposes. But the disciples knew that he was the king, and they grew to serve his purposes. Now, what did Jesus do to the crowd? He withdrew from them. But he entered the boat with the disciples. See, it's all about our motives of learning to know Jesus. Some people say, "Why do I need Jesus if he won't or if he can't stop my storms?" People who say that want Jesus who will serve their needs and only what he can do for them, when we should want Jesus for who he is. He is enough for anything that you face. So your life and my life comes down to what you do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? He has to become more than an abstract concept of deity. That you agree with what you hear, that he is a good teacher, he is a powerful man, influential man, but it has to be more than an abstract concept of deity, and it has to become that he is Lord of your life, and Lord of every area of your life. I can listen to all that people say about Judy. I heard this morning that she was awesome. And I can hear people say how wonderful she is and how sweet she is, how talented she is, what a wonderful mother she is, and what a wonderful person she is. And I can listen to all of that and agree. And I do agree. But if I'm going to be married to her, that's not enough, is it? I have to come to the place where I invite her into my life. And she invites me into her life. And I did that. I asked her to be part of my life, and she accepted. And she has never had a day's regret. And I know that because I asked her yesterday. I've never had a day's regret by asking her into my life. See, it's not enough to know about. We have to know Jesus. And it's the same way with him in our life. It's not enough to know about him. We have to invite him into our lives. You have to invite him into your life. You can't watch somebody else do this. You make the decision yourself. And you invite him to come and change everything about your life because it's his life to change. And you surrender it. We can't tell Jesus what to do with us, but we can surrender and let him do with us as he pleases. And see, it's that kind of life. That kind of life, that relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that when he comes into your life, then you can face any storm with peace and hope unlike anything before. It's all about Jesus Christ. What will you do with Him? Is He your Lord? Or is He just some kind of abstract notion of deity? And how you answer that question will change the way you live, not only this life, but the way you will live your eternal life. Jesus, even if He doesn't come, stop your storm, He will be with you in your storm. And that's really all you need. Let's pray. Our Father, this is Your Word, and we thank You for it. Most of all, we thank You for Your living Word, Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, You have given us the way, and there may be someone here today who has never made that decision to say, Lord, here I am. Would You come in and be Lord of my life? So I pray for those that they might take that step of faith. And then, Lord, for those who have, I pray that You would lead us to unshakable faith. Lord, I pray that You would do it for Your glory and for Your honor. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen.